Last week, I had a self-revelation, if you want to call it. The staff at Immaculate and I had lunch at this local tavern over there, and we were returning back home, driving, and as we were approaching the parking lot, we saw this woman walking towards the church, cigarette in hand, Taco Bell packet, hair barely combed, overweight, dressed in clothes that I don't think, you know, I would look at her again. And my instantaneous reaction, goodness gracious. I didn't say it. Thought it. And then we came back, parked my car in the garage, came up, and the doorbell rings. And the office is closed at noon for summer hours, so I told the staff, don't open the door, I'll open the door. And I opened the door, was this woman. And I said, in my mind again, you are not going to get a single dollar from me. And she said to me, is there a priest here? And most people with my ponytail and the way I look, most people think I'm the janitor anyway when I open the door. No, I don't think she thought that. She said, oh, you are? And she said, I want you to pray with me. And you know, I'm besides myself. I'm feeling this small. And I said, okay, after the prayer, she's going to ask me the money, right? So I take her in. I hear her story. And I prayed with her. When she left, she just had tears in her eyes. She said to me, I'm going through a very difficult spiritual struggle, and I just wanted someone to pray with me. Thank you for praying with me. And she left. See, I consider myself to be a very non-judgmental, a very non-prejudiced, and generally a very compassionate person. I'm not. And it hit me so hard, because just the previous week, and go and listen to the homily on the internet, just the previous week I had preached, not once, three times, about compassion. The way I look at it, this week's gospel reading is the practical implication of last week's gospel. And if you remember last week's gospel, Jesus was approached by all these people and they came to him, and Jesus saw them and his heart was moved with pity or compassion. That was the gospel reading. And then Jesus took the time to teach them many things. So from his compassion, there are two practical things that followed. First, he taught them many things, and then when the people had stayed till evening, recognizing that they must be hungry, he filled their spiritual vacuum and then begins to worry about their physical hunger. Jesus could have said, okay folks, it's all I've got, go home. That's what I'll do at the end of the evening after Mass. Go home. Whether you're hungry or not, who cares? Go. Right? And I'll say, go in peace. But Jesus didn't do that. He begins to worry about, let's give them something to eat. And he began to make arrangements for dinner. Now, we know this arrangement that Jesus made as the miracle of the multiplication of the loaves. Now, there are multiple interpretations of this gospel, and I'm going to take nearly two of those interpretations, and then my practical implications will follow from those interpretations. So, the first interpretation that we have is that the miracle was a little more than Jesus somehow working a magic and the food being multiplied. Remember, Jesus said somewhere, and he says this in Matthew 18:3. He says, unless you become like little children, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. Remember that passage? Surprisingly, in this miracle, it was a little child, a little boy, who brought and gave the bread and the fish to Jesus. Even though there were thousands of hungry people, it was this little boy who brought his food to Jesus. And the interpretation that some scripture scholars give us is this: that everyone there probably had a little for themselves. But they were afraid to give it for two reasons. One, how can this be enough for everybody? And the second, if they give, what are the chances of them getting anything at all? But when this boy comes and gives it to Jesus, Jesus then takes it and gives it to all the people. And that symbol is the miracle. Now everybody begins to be generous. Okay, this is all I've got, but here it is. In other words, when everyone shared what they had, there was more than what they actually needed. The practical implication from this interpretation: together with the little boy, Jesus gives us a very important lesson. It's this: when the compassion of Jesus, remember, he begins to teach them and then he begins to make arrangements for his food out of compassion for them. When the compassion of Jesus meets with human generosity, there's got to be a miracle. We live in a world where I hear now we are planning to send human beings to Mars on the 40th anniversary of man reaching moon. We want to do that while there are people who are dying of starvation. The World Health Organization tells us that now there are 1 billion people whose need for food is not met. 1 billion people out of 6 billion. We live in a world where a person is planning to take a trip, pleasure trip to space, while there are people who are losing their homes and their jobs. We live in a world where sometimes selfishness is a virtue and self-giving is a vice. Together with this boy, Jesus is giving us some very simple lessons. All of us know that the world produces enough and more for all of us to eat. There is enough resource, and there are enough resources in this world to take care of everyone else's need. We have everything. What we don't have is the generosity of that little boy and the compassion of God. This week, let the compassion of God meet your generosity. That's my first practical implication. Now, there is another interpretation to the multiplication of the loaves. Many people say that the first interpretation is wrong because It compromises the divinity of Jesus. That Jesus actually worked this miracle. There was only 2 loaves and 5 fish, and somehow, with the power that Jesus had, he multiplied bread and fish. And I'm okay with it. Sure, Jesus was God. For God, everything is possible, and God can do whatever God wants. I'm okay with that, and I think there is something in giving to God what's due to God. There is a deep spiritual value to giving God all the wisdom and the power and the glory and the might. So it is absolutely possible that that's exactly what Jesus did. However, there's one thing you have to remember. Every miracle that Jesus works, or take any miracle in the scriptures, God still needs human beings to participate in the smallest way possible. For example, Moses standing in front of the Red Sea. Well, Moses had to lift his hand and say, "Let the waters be parted." If Moses didn't do that, there wouldn't be a miracle. For Mary to give birth to Jesus, the greatest miracle, she had to say yes. For the woman to be healed of her hemorrhage, she had to touch Jesus' garments. Many times Jesus would say to those who are healed, "Your faith has saved you." And likewise, in today's gospel reading, the little boy had to bring the 5 loaves and 2 fish to Jesus, for Jesus to multiply. And let's take it for granted that that's exactly what happened. There was a miracle, and there was a multiplication. What's the practical implication from that? The question that I'm asking is, where do we want to see God's miracle today? Where? In what area of our lives? And if we are hoping to see a miracle, what is it that we are willing to offer? The little. God needs that little. What do we want to do so that there may be no hunger in today's world? What little will we offer? Do we want there to be peace in the world? What are we going to do about it? Or are we going to just leave it to God and say, somehow there will be peace? Is there someone who you want to be healed of their terminal illness? How much prayer are you willing to offer? The question is, what little can we offer God? What little things? And if we offer the little that we have, I want to believe in a God who can work huge miracles. But God needs the little from us. So this week, offer those little things, those little gestures of peace and love and compassion, and let God change it into a mighty act of God. The third practical implication. We live in a very uncompassionate world, and I discovered that for myself this week. Very uncompassionate world. Can you believe it? That our politicians are fighting whether every person should have health insurance or not. Well, duh. Can you believe you fight whether a baby in the womb should live or not? They tell us, go spend so the economy will grow, and they give us $7.25 as minimum wage. It's a very uncompassionate world. Hear what St. Paul has to say in today's second reading. He says, I urge you to live in a manner worthy of the call you have received, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another through love. Just four qualities. Humility, gentleness, patience, bearing with one another through love, what I call compassion. My dear friends, please, this week, take those 4 words with you. Humility, patience, gentleness, and compassion. I promise you, I bet you, if you live that today, the calling to which we've been called, God will take those simple human little gestures and God will work a miracle in someone's life. When the compassion of God meets human generosity, there's got to be a miracle. This Eucharist is a repetition, a reenactment of the multiplication of the loaves. What did we bring today? A little envelope that has a little donation? We bring ourselves, our desire for God, our sinfulness, and at the end we'll bring forth a little bread and wine, isn't it? That's what the boy did. But look what God did with that. Let us pray that the little act of faith, the little compassion, little patience, little humility that we can offer before God, that God will make it worthwhile in this world and in eternity. May our generosity become the bread of life. May our generosity bring God to our world. People of God said,